WSBGRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello again, everybody. You're listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. I'm Mike Sullivan, and joining me is Mike Brammer. And for the next 15 minutes, we're going to talk some NCAA basketball. It's getting to be that time of the year when everybody wants to know who's in, who's out, and who's on the bubble. And I think if you had this conversation, you know, 4 months ago, Notre Dame fans would be happy to even be in the conversation about being a bubble team. But then after that great start, and you get out to an 18-4 start, and you start to talk about seeding in the Big East and seeding in the NCAA. But now suddenly, after two road losses in a row, the Irish, I think, find themselves back in that bubble conversation. And now, you know, at least in my opinion, that's a little disappointing. Bram, where do you think the Irish sit with 5 games to go? 18-6, 5 games to go.
Yeah, I would say they absolutely have to win 3 of the 5 down the stretch. And then arguably it's going to depend on what everything else happens. Maybe even so much so that they're going to have to win at least 1 game in the tournament. But yeah,
okay,
right,
so
now,
you think basically the question is, does 9-7 in the Big East, is that good enough? Does it 9-7 get you in?
9-7 gets you in. I might even argue 8-8 might get you in. It depends on.
Oh, you got to be kidding me!
8-8
You are on drugs.
8-8 might get you in if you win 2 games in the Big East tournament.
You are smoking something. 8-8 Listen, Notre Dame, we got left out 2 years in a row at 9-7 against the toughest Big East schedule in the country. We played the A schedule.
Yeah, but
two with Connecticut, two with Pitt, two with Syracuse.
Yeah, but everybody's down this year. I mean, that's
which is exactly why the Big East is not going to, the NCAA is not going to go deep into the Big East to take an 8-8 team.
They're going to take 5, minimum 6, most likely, and it's going to be at that. So you got
8-8, you're smoking something.
8-8 might be 6 in the Big East.
They won't go 6 if the 6th place team is 8-8. They won't go to 6.
Go in the major conferences like that, they're not going to take less than 5 would be the minimum.
The Big Ten got 4 in last year.
Yeah, well, they might get 4 in this year.
Well, you just said they wouldn't go in a major conference, go below 5.
Personally, I don't consider the Big Ten that major. Not this year. But, yeah, look, it's going to depend on, everybody cares about how you finish. If you win 2 games in your conference tournament, play well in the third, that's going to help you more than losing 3 road games down the stretch.
Well, let me ask you this. If we go 3-2 in the remaining 5, now you're saying 2-3 in the remaining 5 at 8-8 is the team that is staggering to the finish, capable of winning.
It might get you in. I think if we go 9-7, we're in.
I think if we go 9-7, we probably have to get one in New York, at least one in New York to get
solidify
in.
It. But we may
get in.
Yeah, we might sneak in though, even if we don't. I would say if we want to solidify our position, you got to go 9-7 and win 1 game in New York.
Okay,
that's an absolute done deal.
In the plus column, 10-6 is the done deal. Okay, if Notre Dame goes 4-1, and we'll talk about who those remaining 5 games are and where the likely wins and losses are, but if the Irish go 4-1 and are 10-6 in the Big East, that's 22 wins. They're a lock. Okay. Now, at 9-7 in the Big East, what's in Notre Dame's favor? Okay. Let's say Notre Dame is 9-7 in the Big East. What's in the plus column for Notre Dame? That's 21-8 overall. And if you're on the selection committee, you look at Notre Dame's body of work, their resume, which is the trendy thing to say. What jumps out at you?
Well, it's just going to be, number one, you get that intangible of we weren't supposed to be very good at all, and all of a sudden we win 21 games.
It's a feel-good story.
Yeah, so you're going to get that.
Team bouncing back.
That's certainly going to be probably, unfortunately, that might be the biggest thing.
Okay, that doesn't get you on the committee, that's not going to.
Yeah, I know, but at least it's going to give you. Plus, I think it also helps that we've been on the bubble the last 3 years and haven't gotten in.
Okay, so the feel-good factor and they owe us one factor.
Yeah, so those two work in our favor. And then you start talking about wins, and, yeah, unfortunately, there's only three. There's Alabama. Now Louisville doesn't look like such a bad win after they beat up Pittsburgh.
Well, right, okay, let's talk about what are the good wins right now. It's Alabama, which is, their stock is dropping, so that win is not as good as it was, but it's still a good win. I don't, that's a good win. Maryland is a good win.
Yeah.
on the road, although albeit a neutral site. That's essentially you playing in D.C., Maryland and D.C. That's a road win. And then you got West Virginia looks like a better win. West Virginia coming off of a big win over UCLA. Louisville is looking like a good win.
Villanova.
Don't forget Villanova.
Yeah, Villanova.
That's a good win.
So, I mean, there's some wins out there that, I think the other thing in Notre Dame's favor is when you start looking at those bubble teams and say, all right, well, who's getting in instead of Notre Dame? There's going to be some real heavy arguments on that side as well. We're in a lucky situation where there's a lot of bad teams out there.
Well, look. Here's the problem with that. When you're on the bubble, when you allow yourself to be in the bubble conversation, then when it comes time for conference championship weeks, you're at the mercy of the upset. Let's say Butler, for example. Butler's going to make the tournament, but what if they don't win their conference? They get upset in the conference tournament. That means now that there's an at-large spot taken by a member of the Horizon Conference.
Right. Yeah, no,
right?
I agree. I mean, again,
so that's where if you're in the bubble, you get left out because somebody pulled an upset in a conference championship.
Right.
All right. Now you've identified, and I basically agree with you on the plus side for ND. Although I would rank our quality wins as bigger pluses than the feel good intangible stuff. Okay. Now on the negative side, here's the problem. Strength of schedule stinks. Our RPI is hovering around 50. Strength of schedule is like 114.
Yeah, I mean,
it's terrible.
As it's been in the last 3 years when we've been on the bubble. It has never been this bad. I mean,
well, no, it's actually, that's the thing. The strength of schedule helped us, and we didn't get in.
Right, that's my point.
And now, if we're on the bubble and have a bad strength of schedule, how on earth are we going to get in?
Well, like I say, only because I think there's so many other bad teams out there right now. I mean,
well, that's not a good position to be in.
No, but and again, this is just arguing about being on the bubble. Notre Dame has a chance to solidify their spot in the NCAAs if they finish strong.
Right. So, let's talk about that now. Okay, getting to 10-6. That means winning 4 of the last 5 games. I think that's a lock. We do that. So we have Providence coming up at home. You got, undefeated at home. Notre Dame's undefeated at home. You got to take care of business against a pretty good Providence team, a team that's better than most people thought they would be at the beginning of the season. That's a game you have to win if you want to be an NCAA tournament team. At Cincinnati, okay, is this team going to finally shake off the road blues and beat a bad team on the road? Losses to St. John's, DePaul, and South Florida, if we don't get in, you don't have to look any further than those 3 losses to bad teams on the road. You got to beat Cincinnati and break that. Okay, DePaul comes back home to the Joy Center. We owe them one. Got to take care of that one. Now, these last 2 are tricky. Okay, I think Notre Dame will win their next 3 games. But then the last 2, Marquette at home in a nationally televised game. Marquette's a heck of a basketball team. Dominic James, a kid that Notre Dame recruited heavily, leads the way for them. They're a guard-heavy-oriented team. I don't know. That's a great matchup for ND. Marquette's pretty good. Can we knock them off here at home?
Yeah, I think being that the game is here at home, that's going to give us our chance. If that game was at Marquette, I don't think we'd do it.
Well, let's put it like this: if we lose at Cincinnati, man, we better beat Marquette at home. I think Marquette's one of those games that we could lose to Marquette,
right?
And it's not going to kill us.
No, it won't. And how you lose too is going to have somewhat of an impact. But
right. In the same respect, if we beat Marquette, I think that's another quality win that probably that may get us in.
Yeah, no. If we go 4-1, I think we're
you're in.
We're in. You go 4-1.
Okay, here's the real tricky one. Playing Rutgers at Rutgers. Rutgers is not very good, but we've got a bad history in that building. The weird things happen in the rack over on the campus of Rutgers, and if the season comes down to us winning in a hostile environment to lock up a bid, how does that make you feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be huge for us if we can pull that off. We've never played real well there. And, the cast that they've got out there is certainly good enough to beat us. We're going to have to be on our game. I think if you look at Notre Dame and say, all right, what happened over the last 3 years? Well, unfortunately, the same thing has happened. We've gone in 7 games out looking like, we're going to make the tournament. And then in those last 7 games, we fall apart. Down the stretch.
Well, certainly not last year, but the previous 2 years when we were 9-7 didn't get in. Yeah, down the stretch has been tough.
Yeah, I mean,
there's
that's,
no question
that's why
about
we
that.
Lost it. Well, last year, you turned 2 of those games into wins. I don't know. I think
we were 6-10. We were never in it. We were 6-10 in the Big East. We were never in it.
Well, I mean, all of those close losses is my point. When I say down to the wire, I mean, you know, games themselves as well. I mean, 6-10, but how many games in overtime did we lose? I think 4.
Well, yeah, let's not go there. Yeah, that's painful.
But in any event, the point I'm making is all of a sudden we've got this recurring thing of not being able to finish well. And you know, so now you've got the factor of all last year we're thinking, all right, at least watching games this year, are we going to lose it at the last seconds? We started winning games. You know, beginning of the year, we were winning games and not falling apart and playing great defense. And all of a sudden, recently, we're not getting the defensive stops we were getting. Certainly, we're not shooting the ball as well as we have. But although not that bad, I mean, we're pretty similar. But we're losing games. You know,
I tell you, Russell Carter down stretch time the last two games has disappeared. Zach Hillsland has really not played well the last two games. Foul trouble at South Florida. I think suddenly now, when the bench gets a little shorter, you really miss McElhinney. Hey, we don't have him. Let's not, you know, you can't cry about it. But the reality is there's a hole in the lineup.
Yeah, there clearly
right
is. I mean, you know, Torrey Jackson's been doing great, but they are going to leave him alone to shoot the three if he wants it.
And you need one more scorer.
McElhinney, you could never do that, too. He'll burn.
Hey, if McElhinney was in the game at the ball, is Colin Falls bringing the ball up in that situation?
Yeah, the only reason Falls was bringing it up is because he's our best foul shooter. Even the DePaul coach admitted that they were going to foul. Their intent was to go for the steal but foul him if you have to.
Okay, well, the Irish got their work cut out for them. 4-1 in the last five games is a lock. At 3-2, you're taking a little gamble and maybe need to get some wins in New York. So a lot of basketball to be played. Should be fun. Quickly on to football recruiting and just a quick wrap-up. The Irish land another top 10 recruiting class after signing day. A couple late disappointments in guys that did not come on board. But, hey, you got to coach the ones you got, and you can't worry about the ones that leave you. So I think overall, you got to think the future looks bright.
Yeah, no, it does. I think too many people make too big a deal about these two kids leaving at the last moment. I mean, is that a sign about, you know, every sign you see that's negative is a sign that Notre Dame isn't who they thought they were anymore. And, you know, the press is going to play that up. The fact of the matter is we've got two top 10 class, at least in most circles. And that hasn't happened. When was the last time that happened?
When Vinny Serrato was recruiting for Lou.
Absolutely. So, you know, that being the case, and Weiss showing that he can beat the teams that he's supposed to beat, I mean, it's got to bode well.
Yeah, this is a good class, and you touched upon something. Charlie came in and changed one very important factor in the program. We are beating the teams that we are supposed to beat, the teams that we have more talent than, and we're building the talent base to the point where we can start beating the elite teams in games that, you know, are down to the wire or evenly matched. Based on talent, LSU, Ohio State, Michigan, USC, those teams all have more talent than Notre Dame, all have recruited better than Notre Dame in the last 4 years, and there's just no way to get around that. They have better personnel than we do, and it showed.
Yeah.
It's going to take a little more time, but two top 10 classes in a row, we're on the right track.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, we'll wrap it up there. We'll be back in a few days to reassess the men's basketball situation. Hopefully the Irish will have a couple more Big East wins under their belt. Until then, you've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. I'm Mike Sullivan, and for Mike Brammer, remember, I'm Dome, but he's Domer.